tonight. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15 for a few moments in the time that we have remaining. Luke chapter 15. I want to just take a few minutes in this Wednesday night Bible study time to look into the Word of God. I want to say thank you to Pastor Folger for the privilege of being able to be here and to be able to speak to you, get to know your church a little better. And as I said, your church has been supporting Barnabas 1040 from the beginning. Thank you for your support, and thank you for your prayers, and thank you for allowing us to be able to represent you in that part of the world. When we started this ministry, we intended for my wife and I to stay in the States and to be able to go from Southern California where we were living to the different parts of the 1040 window. And there are many people who do that, and I'm not against that at all. In fact, maybe someday that's what we'll do. But we felt that, at least in these early stages, it was important that we live over there and where we could be in contact very quickly, very easily with the people, these countries that are mentioned in the video. We can be in those countries within a 3 or 4 hour flight. We live in southern China, and we are there, living there in southern China. We sold our house in California and moved to China, and we are just having the time of our life. We absolutely love what we're doing. And we feel very grateful that God would allow us to do anything at all for Him, and especially to be able to do something where we feel as if we're helping to reach people who have not yet heard the gospel. You see, most of the people in that part of the world, they're not only unreached. The issue is not dying and going to hell. If you die and go to hell, it doesn't matter where you lived before you went to hell. Would you agree? If you live in Cleveland, Ohio, and you die and go to hell, you're still in hell. But at least in Cleveland, Ohio, there's a church that for many years now has been seeking people, trying to keep people out of hell, knocking on doors and running buses and holding services and having all the different things that you do, all the different ministries that you do to try to reach out into a lost and dying world here in Cleveland and reach people with the gospel. But in the 1040 window, there are many places where no one, not only are people unreached, they are unengaged. In other words, they're lost, and no one is looking for them. A few years ago, I read a statement that has just captured my heart, and really, this statement really changed my life. I've never been able to get over it since I first read it. And here's the statement. There's only one thing worse than being lost. And that is being lost with no one looking for you. Can you imagine what it would like to be lost and no one is searching for you? In Luke chapter 15, Jesus talked to us about what it's like to be lost. Multiplied millions of people are lost in our world today and no one is searching for them. I oftentimes preach in missions conferences, and sometimes I'll be in a missions conference and perhaps someone is presenting their field, and I'm not being critical. I'm really not about this. I'm just giving you an observation here. I was at a missions conference in Oregon a year or two ago, and there was a man who was raising support to go to a church and plant a church here in America. I believe in that. I told you, Roy Thompson put that fire in my heart. And the Redwood Baptist Church in Redwood City, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the Bay Area Baptist Church. I mean, there are three churches that are still going tonight, independent Bible-believing fundamental Baptist churches, KJV Baptist churches, that my wife and I were able to start from scratch. And so we believe in it. We're for church planting. But I was on the platform, and the man was giving his testimony, and here's what he said. He said, "I'm going to a city of 1 million people here in America." And he said, "There are only 10 independent Baptist churches in our entire city of 1 million people." And he said, "So folks, if you do the math, that means there's 100,000 people for every church, every independent Baptist church in our city. And so I'm going to start the 11th independent Baptist church in our city." And 11 might seem like there's already a lot, but he said, "There's not." He said, "It's not a lot because there's only one for every 100,000 people." And he said, "You can get into a car in my city where I'm going, and you can drive for quite a while before you see another independent Baptist church, before you even reach to where another independent Baptist church is in that area." And I'm for it. And our church, the church that I pastored before I came in, I recommended him to our new pastor in the missions conference, and we're supporting him. So I'm for it. I'm not being critical. But let me tell you what I was thinking as he was telling that story. I was thinking to myself, I just not long ago came back from Indonesia. A few weeks ago, I was in Jakarta. And you can get in that great city of Jakarta, and you can drive all day long, and you won't see any church of any kind. You'll see mosque after mosque after mosque. And before that, I was in Bangkok, and in Bangkok, every morning, five times a day, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, we woke up to the sound of the Muslim call to prayer, going out over that great city of over 10 million people. And just a handful. I'm literally less than five churches in that city of 10 million people that are trying to reach Bangkok with the gospel. Less than 2% of the people in that city. I don't know how many people there are in America that are saved. I have no idea. I read a poll not long ago that said, a report that said that something like 78 to 80% of people in America claim to be Christian. Now, and we don't believe that for a second. I don't believe for a second that 8 out of 10 people in America are born again believers. They claim to be Christian, but I don't think they're really Christian. They don't really understand what the term means. But what percentage of America is saved? Truly born again Christian? 25%, 30%? 80% claim to be, but maybe what, 30% would be truly born again Bible believing people, born again Christians, even not Bible believers, they're born again. They're actually saved. Well, let's say it's 30%. If the rapture takes place tonight, would you agree America is in trouble tomorrow? We're going to wake up and 1/3 of our people are gone. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable chaos. But if the rapture takes place tonight, in Bangladesh, it's business as usual. In Bangkok, nobody notices. 98% of the people are not even affected. What, 2% of them are going to be gone? 98 out of 100 people are still there. They don't even know anything happened. So the issue is not being lost. The issue is being lost, and no one is searching for you. What is it like to be lost? Jesus told us a story. He told a parable. There's three parables, but actually I believe it's one parable with three illustrations to the truth. In verse 3, the Bible says he spake this parable. So we're going to look at one parable really, but three illustrations of what it's like to be lost. One truth of what it's like to be lost. And in this truth, in this parable, we're going to see a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. We're going to see a woman who lost a very valuable coin and a man who lost his son. To be lost is a horrible thing. What's it like to be lost? If we could try to fathom what it's like to be lost. Jesus said, he spake this parable unto them. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he's found it, he lays it on his shoulder and he rejoices. He comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then continuing on with his illustration, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, does not light a candle, sweep the house and look diligently till she found it. And again, she rejoices when she finds that coin. And again, heaven rejoices. Verse 11, and he said, continuing on. So Jesus said this parable. A woman loses a coin. And then a man loses, a father loses his son. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and they began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, the pigs. The man was so hungry that he would have eaten the pig slop. And so Jesus told these three stories, the story about a lost sheep, about a lost coin, and about a lost son. And in these three stories, we have three illustrations of what it's like to be lost. Let me very quickly just highlight some of these for you tonight. First of all, a lost sheep. This lamb was lost to the safety of the fold. The Bible records how that whenever this shepherd realizes he's lost his lamb, he gets the 99 into the fold and he leaves and he goes back out into the wilderness and he searches diligently until he finds it. Now I ask you the question tonight, why the urgency here? I mean, he's got 99 sheep and it's nighttime and the Bible says he goes out into the wilderness. I mean, he has no flashlights. He has no means of illuminating the darkness. It's dangerous out there, even for the shepherd, to go out into the shepherd and into the wilderness in the dark looking for that lamb. Why doesn't he just wait till tomorrow? Wait till in the morning. Why tonight? Why so urgent? The reason why is because there was absolutely no hope that that lamb would last through the night. The lamb was going to die that night. The lamb had no hope. The wolves, the predators, the elements. The shepherd knew the lamb would die and he had to urgently go after him while he still could. Do you understand what it's like to be unsaved? If you're here today without Jesus, you are literally one heartbeat away from hell. One heartbeat away from an eternity in hell. And there is absolutely no hope that anybody who dies without Christ will get to heaven. None. The Apostle Paul talks about this. He writes in the book of Ephesians about what it was like to be lost before you were saved. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, having no hope without God in the world. We sometimes think, well, maybe somebody is sincere and they're religious and they're doing the best that they can. Surely God is going to let them into heaven. Absolutely not. My friend, Jesus made this clear. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no hope of salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Why was this shepherd so urgent about this thing? Why did he say, I've got to go tonight? Because the lamb was going to die. And I think there needs to be an urgency that we understand that our unsaved loved ones and our relatives and our neighbors and people around the world, they are lost. They are born, they live, they die. They've never heard of Jesus Christ. And somebody says, well, Dwight, what happens to them? They die and go to hell. But they've never heard. They're not going to hell because they have heard and rejected. They're going to hell because they're born in sin. They're lost and on their way to hell to begin with. And that's why Jesus left heaven and came to this earth. In order to live a perfectly sinless life and die upon the cross for us in order that we might be saved. But they've got to hear the word. Romans chapter 10 talks about that great promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he asks four questions. How are they going to call unless they believe? And how are they going to believe unless they hear? And how are they going to hear unless they're sent? Well, somebody's got to take them the gospel. What's it like to be lost? You have no hope. No hope of salvation. Those dear people in the 1040 window that are waiting and waiting and waiting. More than 2 billion people who are lost and no one is looking for them living across that region. How can we not give our lives to go into the wilderness and search for them? How can we not go to our coworkers, our cities, our own families and search for the lost? What's it like to be lost, separated from the safety of the fold? Then he said, a woman lost her coin. This is not just an ordinary coin. This coin had a purpose. That purpose was to be a part of her bridal headdress. Scholars tell us that that's what that coin was for. And without that coin in its place, the headdress would not be complete for her bridal garments. Do you understand tonight that every person on this planet was created to glorify God? The animist that worshiped the spirits and the rocks and trees was created to glorify God. The Hindu that worships millions of gods. The Muslim that believes his only way to go to heaven is to do enough good works to appease his false god. The Buddhist who hopes to be reincarnated over and over again until finally reaching nirvana. The communist atheist, the infidel who worships money. All of them, all 7 billion people on this planet were created to worship and glorify the one true God. It's our job to help them hear that God loves them. We support people in some of the most difficult parts of the world. We support most of these men that we support have suffered some kind of persecution for becoming Christians. Many of them have been in jail. Many of them. Not all of them, but many of them have. It's nothing unusual for them to have been in jail or to be beat up or whatever it might be. Many of them, most of them, have suffered some kind of persecution. They just think that that's part of their Christian life. They understand that God has a purpose for their life, and they believe in glorifying Him through whatever He brings into their life. And then Jesus said there was a lost son. Perhaps this is the saddest of all. A boy that comes to his father, and he lost the relationship for which he was created. Those people were created, and they were loved by our God. And our God wants to be their father, just as He's your father and my father. This boy goes away from his father. And then when he comes to the end of himself and he realizes how bankrupt his life is, the Bible says he will arise and go to my father. In verse 18, I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven before thee. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father sees him come and he runs out to meet him. With open arms, he brings that boy back to himself. People need to know how much God loves them. People need to know that God loves them. I'll tell you one story and then I'll finish. When my wife and I first got to China, we hired a young lady to teach us Chinese. And she would come to our home 3 days a week and teach us Chinese. And so we, very, very intelligent, very educated. Her father's a medical doctor. She's a university graduate. She speaks fluent English, Mandarin, Cantonese. She's a very, very sharp girl. But she would come to our home to teach us Chinese. And my wife found a place where you could get calligraphy, the Chinese calligraphy verses written in Chinese, in the Chinese language. So she had John 3:16 written on a poster. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so she gets this in Chinese. And she puts it on the wall, right where this girl Meng Meng, who teaches us Chinese, would see it. And so Meng Meng comes in and she sits down. And I said, now Meng Meng, before we have our Chinese lesson today, I said, you know that I'm a retired pastor. You know I'm a Christian, and we've talked many times about God. But I said, my wife had a verse from the Bible written for us in Chinese, and we can't read it. Would you read that verse for me? And I want to make sure it says what we think it says. She said, oh, yes, Pastor, I'd be happy to. And she said this. She said, for the God. First, I thought, well, that's not right. And then I thought, I like that, the God. He is the God. He's the only God. There is no other God but Him. He's the true God. She said, for the God loved everybody in the whole world, so the God gave His only Son. And then she stopped. And she turned and she looked at me, and she said, her eyes got big, and she said, the God has a son? I said, yeah, Meng Meng. The God has a son. His name is Jesus. He loved you so much that the true God's Son, Jesus Christ, left heaven, came to this earth, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, ascended back into heaven, coming back someday. And Meng Meng, the reason that my wife and I moved to China at the age of 65 was in order to tell you that the true God, the one true God, has a son. And He loved you so much that He left heaven to come here to die for you. She was just astonished that the God had a son. You know what people need to know? They need to know the true God has a son. And the true God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who was God in human flesh, to die for the sins of the world. There are billions of people today that still don't know that. So, could I encourage you to just keep doing what you're doing? Hear it. Keep supporting. Keep the main thing the main thing, and try to help people find out that the true God loves them, because it's terrible to be lost.